Awakened.
Conscious Conversations Podcast to help you grow and discover who you are, to develop a deeper, more complete side of yourself via conscious talks, self-love, meditation, and by interviewing some of the most inspiring guests on the planet.
ShamanicHealings.earth for more information.
Today's life lesson is all about how having a positive mindset, though a very valuable asset to have, that isn't necessarily always enough to change your life. And sometimes we can feel stuck, frustrated, and a little lost when we can't do that. Today's inspiring guest, which is Neil Elliott, will be the person to help inspire you to find your way in that. I'll give you a little bit of backstory about Neil Elliott. In his late 50s, he was depressed. He felt trapped and he really couldn't see a way out. He will explain a bit more about his life story in the interview, but he found a higher road, and more accurately, in his notes, it says it found him. As he traveled the road, he discovered a 7-step process that transformed his life. He is the author of A Higher Road, a 1-to-7-step process to inner peace, joy, and abundance and prosperity. And I've been reading this book and I'm the last quarter, and I just say it's a really good book and very inspiring, and it's got a lot of depth. Check it out. I'm going to put a link on my website so you can find it really easily. Yeah, it's really honored. I always think anyone that sits down with pen and paper and writes down something that's going to help other people is a winner. Neil's a very gifted writer, and I can't wait for you to meet him. So without further ado, joining us from British Columbia, please welcome Neil Elliott to the show. So Neil, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jane. It's a pleasure to be here. And looking forward to our conversation today.
I'm so looking forward to a conversation as well. So Neil, I was reading your wonderful book, A Higher Road, a 7-step process to inner peace, joy, love, abundance, and prosperity. And today's show, we're going to talk about life lessons and why having a positive mindset isn't always enough. And I really feel that is the case. I know, looking from some of my own frustrations when things haven't worked out, etc., people say, well, you're not being positive enough, and oh, you're not doing this enough. And then we end up having like a list of shoulds of how we should be, rather than kind of, I don't know, going with the flow of life, obviously trying our best as well, but also kind of not getting so hung up on how we think we should be, because in a way that is the ego kind of finding a way to kind of sneak in and upset a lot of things. I find your story absolutely remarkable, and reading your book and also about you, I find you are really being a person that has had a dark night of soul, has had a transition in their life, and that knowledge that you have learnt has been put into something amazing which is going to help others. If you wouldn't mind, can you explain a bit about your journey, Neil, and how you came to discover the higher road?
Yeah, absolutely. Give everybody some context here. So I'm currently 62 years old. I was born in 1960 and I was the youngest of 6 kids. And my dad died when I was 5. I took engineering. So I'm a professional engineer with an MBA, and I've lived in Canada my entire life. I second marriage, have 3 kids and 5 grandchildren. And as a professional engineer, in the 90s, I was managing large projects for a hydroelectric company, and I wanted to be more inclusive of how I was, approaching other people's opinions, attitudes, and opinions. And I needed to kind of shift how I thought. Now, at the time, that's when this is in the 90s. So at the time, that's when positive thinking came out. So I picked up books by Tony Robbins, Carolyn Mice, Dr. Wayne Dyer, those kinds of things, positive thinking stuff. And I studied that, and I spent a decade working at trying to shift how I thought. And in the end, I became, you know, more inclusive outwardly in terms of what people thought, but I still had these judgments of, okay, well, yes, I can see that's their opinion, but I don't agree with it. And that's okay. But, you know, it's those kinds of things. And that's all programming that we've programmed into our subconscious mind. And I went into consulting in 2002. So I couldn't really, so back up, I couldn't really shift fundamentally how I thought. I could just be outwardly more open to people's ideas. And in 2002, I went into consulting. Life became about work, you know, work, work, work. And in 2015, I realized that I'd got to this really dark and deep despondent place. I was in this really deep depression. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go through the same process. I'll buy some new books. I'll buy some science books. I bought some spiritual books. And I really wanted to see if I could get through this process to bring me out of this depressed state. And we're all great actors in our environment. We wear this facade. We project whatever we want to project to the people. And so no one knew. My wife didn't know. My children didn't know. I was in this deep, dark place. I spent 2 years doing that. Our house had been on the market for 5 years. It finally sold. My wife got on a plane to go to Toronto, Ontario, Canada to visit family and friends. And I sat down at this little one-bedroom apartment kitchen table and crafted my suicide note and planned out my suicide. And I was planning it out for about 3 months to ensure my wife would be okay, my family would be okay, say goodbye to people without them knowing what I was going to do. About a week prior, some information came to me in this fortuitous fashion that promised to liberate me from my thinking if I studied it. And I was looking for any sliver of hope to keep going. Now, I grew up agnostic. I wasn't religious. But, you know, I had this little nagging doubt that I'd go to a bad place if I committed suicide and I wouldn't be able to recover from that. So I thought, okay, well, I'll give this a chance. If it doesn't work, I can always pull the trigger. If it does work, great. And so I went through this process that took about a year. And it's a slow process. It's it changes your consciousness imperceptibly, and you don't know what's happening. But a year later, I woke up and I realized my depression was totally gone. I was full of this inner peace and love and joy. And I felt totally prosperous and, you know, abundant, even though nothing had changed in my environment. It was all about how I perceived and understood life and how I perceived all the things around me. So 13 months after I began this process, I knew this change happened. I was good about it. But 13 months after I began this process, so late December 2018, I went into these two meditations 2 days apart. And as I went into this meditation, I was shifting into these higher vibrational frequencies of consciousness, and the spiritual energy flowed into my head and it filled my body. And then it totally enveloped me in unconditional love, an unconditional love that, you know, we don't have the human language to describe. And it was just so beautiful. It was, I wasn't judged. I felt non-judged. I didn't care what aches and pains my body had. I didn't care what anybody had done to me in the past. I just felt totally supported and loved and cradled in this unconditional love. And I wanted to stay there forever. It didn't matter about anything in the past. I just wanted to stay there forever. And I came out of that meditation. 2 days later, I had the exact same meditation. And at that point, I knew that the process I followed and the new knowledge I gained is our truth. And I wanted to share that with everybody. And I thought I'd get on the rooftops and share this. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be looked at like an idiot if I do that. So I won't do that. And it took me a couple of years to figure out the best way to do it is to share my story, my history and my story and the process that I went through to achieve this total transformation of my life, and in the hopes that it helps other people. And I know that as more and more of us take this journey to change your consciousness and become this embodiment of unconditional love, we will eventually bring this world into a new era of love and peace. And that's my goal, is to help people, you know, who are either on a spiritual journey and, you know, have not quite, you know, got to where they want to be, or, you know, would like to shift where they currently are. Because no matter where you are, ill or healthy, happy, depressed, you know, poor or wealthy, you can totally transform your life as soon as you understand the, you know, where we come from to where we return, and this new knowledge that enables you to bridge this gap between spirituality and what we know in science today. And that's what I share in my book, is what this process is.
What a gift to share to the world. I really feel that this is what people need right now in this time. And we've kind of tried living life in a way where it's all kind of about, I don't know, the external, trying to get things and kind of go down that path. And it doesn't bring happiness, whether you're rich or poor, etc. It's a time on the planet where we are going for something higher consciousness, connection. About it's all about love, and what can be more beautiful than unconditional love? When reading your book, Neil, I found you share a lot about your childhood and a lot of the time that you spent alone as well, and you kind of became quite self-sufficient, being able to run the house by yourself, because you were in the woods quite a lot by yourself, from what I remember from reading. My question I have to you is, do you think sometimes, you know, we think we have to do everything ourselves and it's good to be kind of self-sufficient and do things, but in one way I'm sure that have helped make you a very strong person because you were able to completely look after yourself. But sometimes when we do that, I'm talking from my experience as well, as we feel that we kind of, how am I saying this, as we go through life, we try and shoulder and do everything ourselves without thinking that there's other things to help us. For me, that was, I always used to try and solve everyone else's problems or solve things without thinking about myself. And it was through meditation and connecting with higher consciousness is what has helped me on my journey. When you spent a lot of that time by yourself when you were growing up, did you feel isolated, or did you feel that you had a sense of connection with others? I'm interested to know how that time felt for you.
I was pretty isolated. It was, you know, my mother, one thing my mother told me when I was very young growing up was that, you know, no one will look after you. You have to learn to look after yourself. And so it, you know, my life transformed into this very inward, and I'm going to say selfishness, not selfishness in terms of greed, but really understanding that, you know, I developed this belief that I needed to do everything on my own and be self-sufficient, and I couldn't rely on anybody. And, you know, so I think when people understand that, you know, we create every event and every experience that comes into our lives through the mechanics of the universe and the tools of the universe, this body that we identify with and think is our reality is not our reality. Our soul is our reality. And we live in this state of duality. Our soul is here on this evolutionary process in this school that we call Earth to learn the lessons that it wants to learn and that it needs to learn in order to come back to its truth. And its truth is that, you know, we come from unconditional love, we return to unconditional love, and we are you know, we're designed and meant to live in a state of peace and joy and security and laughter and fun and be totally supported, prosperous, and abundant. But because we let the mechanics or the mechanisms of the ego take control of our lives and believe that that is our truth, we behave in ways which are contrary and incongruent with where we come from. And we, through our thinking and our feeling, create every event and every experience that comes into our life. And when we understand we live in this duality, and then we learn the process to transcend these mechanics of the ego that create these negative events and experiences that come into our life, we get at this subconscious programming, which is, you know, we've programmed in our subconscious and our unconscious mind from childhood and then reinforced it over a lifetime. That's like concrete. It's very hard to break up and dissolve. So you need this process to get in and really get at the subconscious programming that is contrary to where we come from, contrary to unconditional love. Break those up and then rebuild your consciousness to be consistent to where we come from. And when you do that, you start to think and be conscious in ways which are consistent with our truth. And then what you do is you start to magnetize to you, manifest, if you will, all of these things which are consistent with where we come from, which is unconditional love. So your life totally changes to this state of inner peace and joy and love. And your goal becomes to bring unconditional love and acceptance and understanding to everything and everyone that's in your environment, even people that, you know, maybe upset you or nasty or greedy or selfish. You know, you get to this point where you understand why and how they are being that way. And that is strictly to bring them the lessons that they need to learn in order to begin this process to transcend their ego. And when you do that, your life totally transforms. And it doesn't happen overnight, and it takes time for it to happen. But I can tell you that it's unimaginable to most people about how joyful and peaceful and content, no matter what's going on in the world, all of the, you know, the wars and everything else, none of that becomes a concern anymore because you understand these mechanics and why and how these things are happening. And that, you know, our reality is our soul. This body is ephemeral. This body is just a tool for us to learn these lessons. And when this, at the end of your life, this body returns to dust, but your soul moves on. Your soul is infinite and eternal. And it is a fragment of divine consciousness. It is perfect. It is unconditional love. And your soul is equal to everybody else's soul. And I'm giving you a lot of information, which maybe not in any logical steps here, but it is, you know, it's when you learn all of this and you come back to this truth, and then you learn how through meditation to make this connection back to source so that source can start to help you in this process and support you and provide love to you and security and peace and help you on this journey, then you know that you're totally supported by our source, by the universe, by God, by Yahweh, by Tao, the Tao, whatever you want to call it, the source of our being. And when that happens, I can tell you, your life totally changes and you just want to help everybody else get there. And certainly you don't want to push it on to anybody, but if people are open, you want to share and help them get on this path back to their truth.
Well, and what a part. As I'm listening to you, Neil, I feel that's how we are all meant to live. And all these things that from our childhood that we kind of distorts our kind of reality in the way we react or act around others and ourselves. And to have that trust to be in that unconditional love and to know that, to see the bigger picture rather than kind of the tunnel vision again that we can have. How can someone who is facing these challenges, who is having, I don't know, a whole different number of problems for whatever reason, how can they get started in this process of connecting with Source, of coming from a place of higher consciousness and unconditional love?
Hello, dear listeners, and I'm asking for your help now. Please help us to continue making great content for listeners everywhere. So we've been doing the show now for 3 years, and we need help to build it so that we can help even more people. A little bit of inspiration goes a long way, and you just don't know how a episode may inspire someone to make some positive changes for their life. Why do I need your help? Well, you can now sponsor the show for as little as $3 a month, and you can cancel it at any time. If you just go to the show notes, you will see a link there on how to sponsor the show, or go to shamanichealings.earth and look at the page that says sponsor the show, and you can find more details there.
So, you know, there's many paths to this, but the path that I share in my book, to me, was the most straightforward, direct, and understandable, because it uses as a foundation what we know in science today to enable you to make this bridge between spirituality and science. So I suggest, you know, to anybody, first thing is, you know, if you haven't found a path you're on that's working for you, then pick up A Higher Road, read it cover to cover, understand the process in its entirety, and then make a decision for yourself. If it resonates with you, then go back and start with some of the science material, or start directly with step one. If it doesn't resonate with you, that's okay. Either put it on your shelf to reread it in, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, or pass it on to somebody else without colorful commentary. But, you know, one of the first things we need to do, you know, there's a few things, and I lay this out in the book of how I transformed my thinking. So number one was I had to learn that everything that I thought was good or bad, true or false, right or wrong, is really just a belief. And not just intellectually understand that, but really understand that at a deep level. And when you understand that, you know, everything that you think is just a belief, then you have the opportunity to say, well, if I know a process, that means I can change my beliefs, which means you change your thinking. And so I take people through this process in part 3 of the book, which lays out this foundation in science to get them to a point where they are open and have a new understanding of consciousness. So, you know, you need to be open to learn some new things and new knowledge, and you need to be able to come to this information like a little child, full of curiosity and wonder and joy without any prejudgments. And if you can do that, you can then start to learn processes and new knowledge that can help you along this path, or indeed help you get to, you know, back to your truth. And if we had more time today, we could get into all kinds of things around, you know, kind of, I have a bunch of analogies to help people understand this mechanics of the ego. And the ego is a divinely ordained tool to create individuality out of the wholeness of an unity of itself. And, you know, it is merely, we're here. We don't have time for this today, but we are here strictly to learn lessons. And when you understand these mechanics and you understand this evolutionary process of the soul and what we're here and what we're meant to be doing, you then have the opportunity to make a conscious decision to carry on living the way you do or change your life. And you know, in the future, the division will not be between the wealthy and the poor. The division is going to be in consciousness. There's going to be those that are awakened to this, understand their true purpose in life, and bring this unconditional love to absolutely everything that comes in their path, or carry on living like they do. And, you know, if you're all of the inner, all of the peace, the joy, the love, the security that you are seeking It's all inside of you. You just need to understand the process. You need to gain some new knowledge, and then you need to begin this process to make this connection back with the divine. Meditation is just so important. You need to learn this meditation that enables you to enter into the silence and stillness of your mind. And that is where you're going to make this connection back to source.
If your mind is full of too much information, it's going to kind of block your connection with source. And meditation has had the biggest effect on my life out of anything that I've ever done. And some days are easier than others. I do my meditation with nature, and I kind of really feel like I find my connection to source via nature. And I find that's really powerful for me. In your book, you share some science books, which I'm going to read. And I look about memes, and I just thought, actually, yeah, that's happening to us all the time. You'd probably be able to explain a lot better than me, but kind of how it isn't little viruses of thoughts that are planted in us. And I think actually that happens like through TV, kind of social conditioning, etc., and how subtly it can happen as well, but also how strongly. Would you mind explaining a bit about memes to our listeners?
Let me spend a couple minutes, and let's go through, you know, has at the beginning here. So at the time of conception, when sperm fertilizes the ovum, you know, the soul impresses the lessons from past lives into that process. And the little I mind of ego is created at the same time. The I mind of ego uses the mechanics of the universe to build this intricate body over a 9-month period through to the genetic plan in the DNA of the sperm and the ovum. And as we grow from babyhood to age 5, the human brain has not developed to a point yet where it can make its own decisions. And so really what it is, this little baby is just this embodiment of love and joy, and it's a sponge. It's just absorbing everything it's in its environment. It's its family's origins, its culture, its religions, its language, its emotions, etc. And then at age 5, it starts to make decisions to itself. So it's programming it. We're going into this process of programming the subconscious and the unconscious mind. And it has adopted these beliefs and patterns of thinking and feeling associated with its family. Then it starts to make its own decisions, and it goes out to school and it learns other things. And it's continuing this process of learning, accepting some things as true and false, good and bad, etc. And it's programming its subconscious mind. As we grow from babyhood to adulthood, we think we're becoming versed in the ways of the world, but really what we're doing is we're binding down our soul, we're shutting it off from its connection back to source, from the light, and we're letting our ego take control of our lives. And so we're like method actors. You know, a method actor, you're doing a period piece, they will dress the part, play the part, eat like those people did in whatever period piece they're doing. They'll speak the way they spoke. And when they do this for a number of months or weeks or months, and then they get on camera and the director calls action, they're right into the part because they've been practicing it. And director calls cut. The actors come out of that back to who they are. They high five each other and they go, "Oh, wow, you did such a great job. You know, while you were there, I really believed I was there." And unfortunately for us, or fortunately, because it's part of this process, what we do is our egos are the method actors. They believe this body is our truth. They believe these solid objects are around us is our truth. And so they never snap out of it until we begin this process to understand who we really are, which is our soul and our ego. So now let's go to memes. So as we do this, as we're growing up, and we feed our minds with So I used to think that everything in my brain, everything that I thought was I had learned or experienced or been exposed to, and all of my thinking was in my brain. And then I learned through these books and stuff that that really consciousness is not only in my brain, it's all throughout my body. My thinking can either affect the health of each cell in my body or be contrary to it. And I began to understand that, no, consciousness is not only in my brain, it's in my body. Indeed, it's all around us. And I see thoughts now as this stream of thoughts that go by my awareness, and I pick a thought out of that stream. And we do this in a nanosecond. We pick a thought out. If it's consistent with our patterns of thinking and feeling that we have programmed in our subconscious mind, we keep it. If it is inconsistent, we throw it back in the stream. So it could be a loving, kind thought. It could be a hateful, vengeful thought. It could be a judgmental thought. We keep it. If it's consistent, we throw it back. If it doesn't, in a way it goes. So we continue to reinforce these patterns of thinking and feeling. And when those patterns of thinking and feeling are inconsistent with where we come from, we create every event and every experience that comes into our life through these mechanics of the universe. You think with electrical impulses in the brain, you feel with magnetic impulses in the nervous system. Your thinking is a consciousness plan. Your magnetic impulses magnetize this blueprint of a future event or experience that comes in, that will come into your life. When you have sufficiently magnetized it with your thinking and feeling, being a loving thought and feeling or a hateful, vengeful one, like attracts like, you will get a like experience or like event at some point in your future. And it may be in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 50 years, but it will come into manifestation. It is a law of cause and effect. You cannot change it. They will happen. They will manifest. So what we feed our mind every moment of the day through our newspapers, through our TV programs that we watch, through film that we watch, through what we read, through our interactions with other people. And when those things are contrary to where we come from, what we do is we individually create these thousands of blueprints every day that we manifest these like experiences and events that come into our life. And collectively through our thinking, we create events and experiences that will manifest, you know, our communities and our cities and our countries through this collective thought. And when all of these thoughts and feelings are inconsistent with where we come from, we create all of these negative things that happen to us. And all of this is to individually help us learn lessons, to collectively help us learn lessons until we wake up and understand what we're doing to ourselves and start to go through this process to come back to our truth and to be this embodiment of unconditional love. So if you think your nutrition that you feed your body is important for your body, and it is, I can tell you that what you think about and what you think, not only what you say, but what you think is more important for your overall health and well-being than what you feed your body.
Yeah.
And through these memes that are prolific through these various mechanisms and the internet these days, we just continue to reinforce these patterns of negative thinking and feeling and hate and judgments and condemnation and criticism, et cetera, that create these negative events and experiences in our lives individually and collectively.
So it's really important how what we feed our mind with, like what we read, what we listen to, what are in a dialogue, you know, we kind of narrate our life and how we kind of see things, because it affects everything, then not just ourselves, but other people, and we kind of continue end up feeding all this negativity. But I always feel that about the news. I'm not saying I don't know what's going on in the world, but I don't watch the news. I think the way the shows are, it's kind of, it just creates more and more fear, and it just makes things worse, I think, in many ways, in the way that TV shows are these days. What you're sharing with me, I think, is life-changing subject, and I'm going to read the books, the scientific books, and I would love to get you on the show again next year, if that's all right with you, and discuss some more about this, because I just find it's such an amazing subject. I would like to speak now a bit more about your book. I like the way that it has your life story, and then you suggest these scientific books to read, and then after you've read the book, you can go back through. I feel like it offers like a course on how to reach this higher consciousness state. And I think sometimes the missing component for a lot of people is that we've got to do a bit of the work though, right? We can't just read like a book and then just sit there and then kind of watch 10 hours of Netflix and not kind of do a bit of effort, because that's just not going to kind of change things. But I would suggest to our listeners, the motivation is if you read Neil's book, is the motivation there, because if we keep doing the same things the same way and we feel stuck and unhappy, then the obvious thing, which isn't always what we want to do, but is, I feel it's the way to go, is to start making these changes. And we can get lost in how to do this. And that's why I think a higher road offers a real clear plan of action for our listeners. If you could list one takeaway from your book, Neil, for our listeners, what would that be?
That's a great question. There's just so much. I think the one takeaway would be, you know, if you are in any way unhappy with your life, no matter whether you're, you know, wealthy or poor, living on the street or living in a mansion, you know, if you are unhappy in any way about your life, I can tell you there is a way to come back to complete peace and joy and love, regardless of what's going on in the world around you. You just need to be open, be willing to learn and curious. And if you do that, you know, at least I believe what I followed, and I know this because this is true for me, and I believe it will be true for others. If you follow what I've laid out in a higher road, if it makes sense to you, and you follow that, you can totally transform your life to a state that you can't even imagine. It is like, it's totally amazing. You know, I went from this about to commit suicide to totally inner peace, love, and joy, and understand why everybody does whatever they are doing in the world. And I have come to this state of not being really concerned about any about it. Of course, I'm concerned, and you could feel for the people in Ukraine and even for the Russians, because I think there's a lot of Russian soldiers there that are doing what they've been ordered to do. Maybe they've been, in lack of a better term, hoodwinked into believing something different. And, but I know I feel there's a lot of them there doing stuff that they don't even want to be doing, and they probably don't even believe in it, but the consequences of not doing it are personal for them. And so, you know, you get to this point where you understand how and why everything's happening. And you also understand that our reality is our soul. And when you understand this, you know, your whole perspective in life changes. I can tell you, you know, it's amazing. And what you want to do is, you know, what I want to do is I want to help people. And I believe that as you become this beacon of light, and if people are curious, then, you know, share with them. But if they're not curious, that's fine. You know, it's not your way. It's not, you know, your purview to push your beliefs onto anybody else. But if they are open and they want to join you in this place of peace and joy.
Yes, definitely. Oh, wow. I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of this with you, because I feel so inspired by it, Neil, and I definitely would love to, like, to speak to you again in the future. Rob, I do have a list of questions which I wanted to ask you, but I'm going to put it up to you. What else would you love to share with our listeners right now?
Okay, so there's a new dispensation of energy around the world, which is making people open and to making this transformation and this shift. And, you know, if there's going to be a lot of things that come in a manifestation, you know, things that were put in past 10, 20, 30 years ago, individually and collectively, will still be manifested. I expect things will get much worse before they get better. But all of this is designed for us to wake up and understand who we are and become part of this process to help others come back to their truth. And so I would say that, you know, the one thing is there's going to be a lot of shifts that go on in over the course of the next 18 months around the world. And now is just such an amazing time and a great time. And it'll be the most important year in human history. And we might not recognize that for centuries to come, but it is the most important time in it will be the most important time marked in human history of this transformation of the world. We have collectively got to this place of on the brink of self-annihilation. And this is a process to bring us out of that and bring us into this new era of love and peace. Your minds are specially created to bring the divine down through your mind and emit unconditional love to the world. And when you become part of this open channel and this open process, you become a light to others. You know, you will be expressing care and love and consideration, and you will be looking to uplift and help people come into this new state the way we're meant to be, kept in peace and plenty and security and love.
Beautiful. I feel kind of like speechless talking to you, because it's what you're sharing is just so, I can feel that as well. I do feel like we're reaching this kind of pinnacle point in a human kind of consciousness, and I can feel kind of like the shift. And yeah, just, yeah, I think it will be a bit of a bumpy ride, but we will get there. I do really feel that as well. If any of our listeners would like to reach out to you, your website is dneilelliott.com, and it has more information upon the work that you do. Is there anything else that you'd like to share on that matter with our listeners?
Yeah, so the book is called A Higher Road, Cleanse Your Consciousness to Transcend the Ego and Ascend Spiritually, a 7-step process to inner peace, joy, love, abundance, and prosperity. It's by D. Neil Elliott. The D is just the initial of my first name to differentiate me as an author and on the internet. An easy way to get to my website is ahigherroad.com. The book is available globally, wherever books are sold, in print or your favorite ebook form, Kindle, Apple, Nook, or Kobo. And I recommend you pick it up, you read it cover to cover, and then make a decision for yourself. If it resonates with you, you can transform your life by following, the steps that I've outlined in the book.
Mm. I think it's well worth it. So I'm going to read the scientific books and then read the book again and go through the process. And I'll let you know how that affects my life and how I get on with it. But I've really got a good feeling about this. Thank you. And take care. And thank you for your time today, Neil. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jane, and thank you for everything that you're doing for all of your listeners and the people of the world. And I look forward. If you have any questions or anything, please just reach out to me, and I'd love to speak with you again. It's been an absolute pleasure having a conversation with you.
Oh, thank you, Neil. Thank you so much. And yeah, I look forward to speak to you again in the future as well. And I know I'm getting some of my family and friends for Christmas as well. So thank you for helping with that. It's always a difficulty to know that, but thank you so much. So I'll speak to you soon, and you take care. So thank you, Neil.
As promised, here is your meditation inspired by today's show. Top tips for the meditation is either sit nice and cross-legged on the floor with a nice straight back. Always nice to sit on a block or a cushion. Or if that's not available for you, you sit in a chair with the back nice and straight. The important thing is you're not slouching. And if you're doing something that requires your concentration, all you need to do is just pause this and you can reconvene the meditation at a time that is good for you. If you're doing the meditation, let's begin.
This meditation was recorded live outside, so there may be some background noise, but I feel it adds to the depth of this meditation.
So, which path should you go, and how to know as you embark through life? As you sit there with your eyes closed and start to breathe slowly through your nose. Can you surrender to the moment? Whatever distractions come your way, can you always remember to have gratitude for this day? Can you be kinder to yourself? Send more love, have more faith in the forces above. Find joy in what you do. Don't dwell in the past. Let it go. Instead, allow life to flow. Allow yourself to be seen. Care less for what others think of you. And sing your own song, whatever that is. No one knows that better deep down than you. There may be external distractions, noises, smells, things to look at, things to think at, things to touch. I invite you to find the time to switch off from all of these once a day. Allow life to unfold in its own magical way. The smell of the summer, the comfort of the cold of the winter, the joy of spring, the beauty of letting go during fall, autumn. The scent of the ground after a summer's rain. The comfort of drying yourself under the side of one fire in the winter. Whatever time of year. Whatever the circumstances. Life is flow. Equally, we need to kind of ground that kite. Take a deep breath and allow the joy of nature to be free. Allow life to unfold and allow yourself to truly see. We are never truly alone. So come back into the moment, come back into the room. Take some deep breaths and slowly go about your day, night, morning.
So thank you so much, dear listeners, for taking the time to listen and support our show today. And if you want any more information on what we have to offer, check out
shamanichealings.earth for more information.